Welcome to the Wapak Area Public Library Podcast, episode number 2. I am Jan, and with me today is Paula.
Hello.
Marcy.
Hi.
And Linda.
Hey.
Together, we are your hosts of Table of Contents. We are coming to you from Wapaka, Wisconsin, home of the Comets, Chain of Lakes, and miles of open country. In the middle of all that is the Wapaka Area Public Library, a place where our community comes together to imagine, learn, and connect. You can find the Wapaka Library online at wapakalibrary.org. Today, coming up in our table of contents, we have Paula, who is going to be talking to us about the summer library program, Marcy, who's going to give us a bit of history about the library, Linda's got some amazing highlights to share with us, and then I will have a now and then segment about a special movie. Then we'll all talk about what's happening at our library, and then at the very end, we'll share our table of contents, our portion of the podcast, where we all share something about our own personal table of contents. And also, we're going to do something special today. We are recording in April, and we are going to do a poem. We're just going to have a poem today in celebration of National Poetry Month in April. And we're going to each share a short poem of our choice before our specific segment of the podcast. And we hope you enjoy them. So, Paula, what's on your mind?
I guess my poem I'm going to read is on my mind right now.
All right.
I'm going to be reading a poem from a book, and it's called A Book in Verse That Just Gets Worse, No More Poems, by Rhett Miller. And this is a book you can find in our library in the children's department.
That's nice.
And it is a children's book, but I think that everybody will be able to relate to this poem. It's called My Device. I used to find it charming. I used to think it nice. But now I am a prisoner of my own device. I need it to take pictures. I need it to play games. Remember all my numbers. Remember all my names. It tells me where I'm going. It gives me all my news. It plays me all my music. It buys me all my shoes. I used to go to Mom's house with a birthday cake. Now I simply text her. Don't even have to bake. I once had conversations with people that I met. It used to make me nervous. It used to make me sweat. Now I can ignore them and look down at my screen. They don't even notice. They're doing the same thing. My device is smarter than everyone I meet. It knows all the answers. You are all obsolete.
Wow. Oh, ain't that the truth? Yeah.
That is very relatable.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about our summer library program. Like always, we'll offer a fun summer library program to promote reading and learning all summer long for our patrons. The theme this year is Adventure Begins at Your Library. And we all know that's true, don't we?
Yes.
Definitely.
Anytime you open a book, it's an adventure. But we have fun and we're promoting reading. So as far as the reading part goes, this summer we're going to be challenging you to read 20 minutes a day during the summer. And some people may not think that's much, but for some people, you could go over and beyond and read as much as you want. If you're an avid reader, you're going to. But the idea is to keep people reading through summer and learning. And you're going to record your minutes. We use a program called Beanstack, but this year we're also going to incorporate a paper tracker for those who would prefer to do that.
Nice.
Beanstack has a mobile app that you can use right off your phone. It makes recording the minutes really easy. It's literally at your fingertips. What I liked about it, I did it for the first time last year on my phone, and it has a timer on it. So it's like, had my phone open, hit the timer, and it automatically records the minutes, so I don't have to do anything special.
Aren't those devices wonderful?
Sure is. And what we do is we give a prize in the adult, teen, and children's department for when they register, they get to pick a book. And also when they complete, they get to pick a book. This year, we're going to do something a little bit fun. It's something that we found out that another library actually kind of invented. They call it Reading Dragons, I believe. We're not going to necessarily call it that, but it's going to be collector cards. And anyone can collect them, but every time there's going to be a spot in when you reach a certain point in your reading, I believe it's every 2 hours, you will get, well, as long as earning a badge through being stack, it'll say collect your card in the children's department. And when they collect the cards, there's 12 that they'll be able to collect, but by midway point, that you know, or actually at the beginning, you can get a starter pack in the very beginning, which will allow you to play one of the games, which is just like rock, paper, scissors, but you're doing it with cards. So we're kind of excited about that. Taylor, our teen librarian, found out about that, so we're going to try and see how it works.
So they're going to be like mystery card so that they get a mystery card. They don't know what it is until they open it. Or
they're gonna be labeled like you're in card number one.
Oh, okay.
And we're gonna have them. They're not gonna be wrapped like a collector card, okay. But it's kind of the idea, like with all the there's magic and Pokemon that. It was just kind of a idea that like let's see what cards you can collect. But our teen librarian did make a special card just for our library. Nice. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
And then as far as our program, there are going to be programs and learning opportunities for everyone. We're in the process of planning that now. It's kind of a crazy time of year right now when we're planning all that. We'll print a brochure that will have all the information for you. Those are in process. They'll come out sometime probably by the end of May. And just to name a few things, for instance, in the adult, they're going to have a professional speaker come in June, and it's going to be an outside program on the front lawn about lumberjacks and the Christian Conservation Corps and what they did in Wisconsin. A few years ago, they had the same speaker come in, and they said it was a wonderful program. I don't know if it's the same programming he's doing, but we're really excited about that. And there will be details on all these things on our website as soon as we have all the details and dates and that. But this is just to give you a little heads up.
Okay.
There's going to be a Dungeons & Dragons program for adults in June. This is something new. So that's in the works.
And
that's all I'm going to tell you right now. But it is for adults.
Right.
And then there's a gentleman who will be coming in, Dr. Minette, who's going to be doing a brain health program. And then we also have for the teens, they always do all summer long some fun games and activities. But they're going to have a D&D campaign that's going to meet weekly down in the teen room. That's just for teens.
Okay.
And another fun thing about the teen program is that when they complete their reading challenge, they're going to have a locket. So there'll be more information on that.
Fun.
So they'll have to find about that. But they're always excited about that. And then for the kids, we're going to have a Lego building contest.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to have one in June, one in July, and one in August.
Nice.
That's exciting. It's going to be. It's based on that TV show Lego Master Style, or however that is. We're going to be out at the parks. We're going to be at Riverside Park on Tuesdays. We're going to be actually in the library on Wednesdays with programming, and we're going to be at the Splash Pad with a story time before the Splash Pad opens up on Thursdays.
Okay.
Of course, Baby Garden every Friday. And then as far as family events, the big one, the Renaissance Fair, is coming back.
Nice.
So it probably may even be a little bigger than last year. And then, of course, we're going to also be celebrating Smokey Bear's. We're going to have a Smokey Bear birthday party.
Oh, yes.
So we will start pre-registration of the summer library program starting in May. Reading starts in June, but we can pre-register in May, and that will be on our website. You'll probably see it on the library TVs and everything else, too.
All right.
That's
Very
what
nice.
I have for you now.
Very nice. Marcy, what do you have to tell us about the history?
Okay, well, first, I have to read you my lovely poem.
All right.
Okay, this author is anonymous. They apparently didn't want their name there. The poem is called Maggie's Dog. There was a young girl named Maggie, whose dog was enormous and shaggy. The front end of him looked vicious and grim, but the tail end was friendly and waggy.
I think I know a dog like that.
Right? Okay, so a little bit of a history about the library. So, women of Wapaka were part of sweeping advancements in literature and education at the turn of the century. 15 women came together and organized the Women's Club on July 20th, 1896. One of the club's goals was establishing a free public library in Wapaka. However, this was not an easy task. They faced numerous challenges, including financial constraints and the need for a suitable location. A year after the club's formation, it joined the State Federation and began its annual contributions to the Loan and Fund for Higher Education. The club continued its crusade to build a public library. Through the club, they established a fund to receive donations for materials for that library. On January 9th, 1899, the club received its first donation in the amount of $2.65.
Wow.
Yeah. Which went a long way back then. Donations continued to be collected, and on February 28th, 1909, the first library was opened.
Wow, that's quite a few years it took for them.
Like I said, it was a very long process. There was a lot of people who just didn't think it was necessary to have a library, didn't see a need for it, didn't want to fund it, but they opened it in February. And it was a rent-free room over the post office, which was located at 208 South Main Street. Heat and electricity were furnished without charge by the Wapaka Electric Light and Railway Company. And the librarians were paid $100 a year. And they had a total collection when they opened the library of 759 books.
Oh, with that $2.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and the $2.65 was provided by the husband of one of the women in the club.
Oh, nice.
And so then the other husbands were contributing, and then people started seeing, okay, maybe this is really a worthy cause. And there were still, of course, some naysayers. There's always going to be. But, yeah, it took a while to open. It took a while to get funding and everything. So
is it the post office that we have there now? Where
it was, I think so. I think that's the same address, the 208 South Main Street. Because it is still on Main Street.
Yeah.
So it could have been. And yeah, it was just a room right above the post office.
Interesting.
But all of this information I found in a book called The History of the Wapaka Area Public Library. It was written by Marie App. Yeah. So, and that is in our library and available for checkout.
Very nice.
Great.
There's a book, one of my all-time favorite books, written years ago by a woman called Helen Santmeyer. And she was like 80 when she published this book, her one book that she wrote, but it's all about getting public library started. It's called And Ladies of the Club.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. But it took place in Ohio.
Yeah.
But similar issues.
Yeah.
And it was women that formed this club, and their goal was to start a library.
So. Well, and besides forming this library, these women were also in charge of getting books in the hands of kids. So they formed all kinds of library or all kinds of reading clubs in the school. They were very influential in the town. They were just kind of got their hand in a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of good work.
Thanks for that.
Yes, that was very interesting. Linda, what kind of wonderful highlights do you have for us today?
Well, I'm going to talk about the Libby app and audiobooks.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to read my poem.
All right.
Which is one of my all-time favorites, and I don't know where I first heard this poem. I think it's probably in school when I was younger, because we had to memorize poems back then. But this one's called Trees. It's by Joyce Kilmer, and it was written in 1915. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast, a tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray, a tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree.
That is beautiful. I love that.
That is. Yeah.
I have heard that poem before, too.
It's one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
So now, about the Libby app. I just started using the Libby app a year or two ago because I got a new car that does not have a CD player in it.
Yes.
And I like listening to audiobooks when I'm driving long distances. So I was trying to figure out, how can I do this? And I thought, I can use the Libby app. I was resistant to it for quite a long time. I love it now. And so that's what I started doing. And I've discovered that I tend to like books that are 6 or 7 hours long. I don't like really long books. I think it has to do with my attention span. I'm not sure, but that's what I've... 6 to 7 hours is about as long as I like to have a book be. And I can finish that in, 2 or 3 days if I'm diligent with listening to it. So one of my very favorite series that I was talked into by several of my coworkers, Jan being one of them, is by David Rosenfeld, the Andy Carpenter series. And I like mysteries, and this is a mystery series. He's got currently 28 books in this series, and it's fabulous. The reader is fantastic. Grover Gardner is the reader, and he sounds exactly the way I would imagine Andy Carpenter to sound. It takes place in New Jersey, so it's got that slight little New Jersey accent, and there's self-deprecating humor and sarcastic humor, which is kind of my humor, so I'm finding myself laughing quite a bit during the series, which I really love. And I was devouring those, but now he's only got 28 books, and I'm on, like, book 24, so I have slowed down how much I'm listening to these because I don't want to not have Andy Carpenter in my life. I can't imagine what it will be like if I don't have Andy Carpenter to deal with.
So what is the Andy Carpenter story like? What are they about?
He's a lawyer who doesn't really want to be a lawyer, but he's very good at being a lawyer, and he takes on cases of people he thinks were wrongly convicted. Mm-hmm. Wrongly imprisoned or whatever. And many of the determining factors he uses to determine if somebody was wrongly convicted or if they were a good person instead of a bad person is how they treat dogs. Dogs are very important.
Dogs are a good judge of character.
And the author, David Rosenfeld, I read a little bio on him, and he has, I think it's 38 golden retrievers mm-hmm. on his property.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and Tara is his dog in the book. Andy Carpenter's dog in the book is a golden retriever named Tara. And Tara is going to live forever. He never has mm-hmm. to worry about that. So he says, or thinks. The very first book in the series is called Open and Shut, and I highly recommend it for anybody.
And I believe every book features a different type of dog, doesn't it, usually?
Yes. Usually there's some sort of dog involved in the story, and he's a collected as the series goes on, and I recommend that you listen to them in order because there's a backstory there, and he ends up collecting more than Tara. Tara starts out being his only dog, and then eventually he's got more dogs.
Yeah. So. We have a nonfiction book by David Rosenthal called Dog Tripping, and it's about transporting his dogs from one coast to the other when him and his wife move, and the shenanigans that go on and that trip and the amount of, because they have to take several vehicles to get the dogs, and it's quite hilarious.
Yeah. Does he actually have a real foundation? Or I thought he did.
He probably does. As much as he loves dogs, yeah. I can't imagine that he doesn't. But in the book, he does start a foundation with the first person in Open and Shut that he rescues from prison who was wrongly convicted, and they start a foundation for dogs. And so that plays a role throughout the series. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, I'm going to move on to my now and then. I will start with my poem. The poem I chose is by J.R.R. Tolkien, one of my favorite authors. And it is called, I Sit Beside the Fire and Think. I sit beside the fire and think of all that I have seen, of meadow flowers and butterflies and summers that I have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that there were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my hair. I sit beside the fire and think of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall ever see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. In every wood, in every spring, there is a different green. I sit beside the fire and think of people long ago, and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of times there were before, I listen for returning feet and voices at my door.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay. Moving on. In my now and then today, I have a really long presentation, but I'm going to try to get through it fast and maybe just summarize some of it. It's about Dune. The old version of Dune that came out in 1984, anybody's familiar with that one? Mm-hmm. It's the one that I was enjoyed because that was when I was a teenager and that came out in that era. So when I watched that movie, I was young and I never read the book. So I went into it without any expectations. The movie essentially is about the Atreides, a noble family from the planet Caladan, who become wrapped up in a war over the most valuable substance in the galaxy, spice. There you go. which is only found on the planet Arrakis, also known as Dune. The spice was able to apparently prolong your life, give a person great insight, and if you could absorb enough to be mutated over generations, apparently you can learn to fold space. There's a lot going on in this movie, and when I first watched the 1984 version, back in 1984, I had never read the book, I had nothing to compare it to, I was young, and I was just looking for something entertaining to watch. The beginning of the 1984 movie starts with a narrative by the Princess of the Known Galaxy. I want to say her name is Arulan Carino. There was a lot to absorb. She went into all the planets, houses, and the history. After a while, I started to relate it to the first Star Trek movie, the motion picture. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one, where they constantly flying through the alien cloud, and you're just like, when are they done flying through this alien cloud? Well, that's kind of what I was like listening to the history and stuff of this at the beginning of the movie. But anyways, after that, it picked up. I have always liked the good versus evil type of movies, but of course, where the good wins. Mm-hmm. With a lot of the characters coming and going throughout the movie with no understanding of the deeper connections, not to mention the religious order of the Bene Jesuits and the prophesied Quetzalcoatl, the Messiah of the show. It was a very abridged version of a large story. But I knew the good guy, played by Kyle MacLachlan, I can't pronounce his last name, I apologize, was the highly anticipated prophesied Messiah of the Fremen and the inhabitants of Dune. I knew that was, he was the good guy, and I loved the action with the sandworms, and I was even okay with the voiceovers. They did a lot of where the characters were thinking, so they had to project the voices of what they're thinking, so you knew what they were doing.
I like it when movies do that.
So I had no problem with that. Some people had a problem with it, but they did a very good job with it. It's kind of the opposite of the Twilight movies, if you're familiar with that, because in the books, there's a lot of inner thought in the books, and then they had to try to project that in the movies, which I don't, you know, through the emotion of the characters, and they didn't do a very good job of that, unfortunately. I didn't think. And let's see. Oh, and as a youngster, I loved the secret voice weapons that they had on Caladan that they created. And I didn't know until later on when I read the books that that was completely made up for that specific movie in 1984. There was no such thing.
Like they do in all movies.
Yeah. So that was really disappointing. But then there was also Sting, who played Fade Huatha Harkonnen, who was the evil nephew of the Baron, which was the bad guy. So back in 84... You know, Sting. Of course, I want to watch the movie and see where Sting is. But the 2021 version, directed by Denis Villeneuve, is amazing. It is pretty true to the book, and us book lovers, we like that. The movies are long and full of movie graphics, but the story takes more time, and you learn the history and the storytelling as you go, just like in the book. And at first, I did not care for the actors chosen for Paul and his mother Jessica, but they've grown on me. I don't mind him too much anymore. But I don't care for Christopher Walken playing the Emperor. To me, he just doesn't quite pull it off. So I thought that was a really weird kind of placement. But, you know, maybe that'll change in the next one. We'll see. I feel that the 1984 version by David Lynch was just ahead of its time. The money and the graphics just weren't there yet to give this story what it needed. So, bottom line, I recommend both movies, keeping in mind the large capacity of the story and the times at which they were made. I hope you all enjoy that, and we have both those movies at the library. Come on down and check them out, or place them on hold and check them out, and let us know what you think of them. You can send us an email at tableofcontents@wapakalibrary.org. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so moving on, we're going to go check out what's happening at our library, and it looks like I'm up first. Let's see. I am going to be talking about today is the Friends of the Library Potluck. Friends of the Library Potluck is Wednesday, May 8th from 12 to 1. Bring a dish to pass, if able, and come enjoy a meal with help and help your library. So anybody who doesn't know Friends of the Library, they help the library by providing financial support for programs and services. They're also involved in purchases and special projects while working closely with all the library departments and sponsoring and promoting programs, such as the state park passes that we're going to be doing again this year. Starting May 1st, you can come down to the library and check out a park pass, a Wisconsin state park pass, and we will have those until they're gone. We have a limited amount, but come on down after May 1st. You can check one of those out. You do have to have a library card, though. So that's one thing that they supported and paid for is some of those tickets. The Friends also raise money through the book and plant and the merchandise sales, so we appreciate your donations when people bring in donations of used books, movies, and music. Just let us know that they are donations. Don't just put them in the drop, because then we don't know and we have to hold on to them in case you accidentally drop something of your own personal items in there. So bring them to the desk or put a note on them, something saying that it's a donation. We appreciate that. If you're interested in being involved with Friends of the Library, it would include a few meetings a year and a participation in rewarding friends activities. So if you have any further questions, you can email the Wapaka Library at wau@wapakalibrary.org. You can call the library at 715-258-4414. Or email our podcast at tableofcontents@wapakalibrary.org.
Thanks, Jan.
Yeah. Okay, Paula, what do you have to tell us about Shine?
Oh, Shine is the new exhibit that is currently in our exhibit room on the lower level. It features over 170 original fused glass tiles, which are from the Wapaka Community Arts Board fused glass tile workshops that they held during 2023. So this is an exhibit that's kind of like a 2-year in the process of making this exhibit. Well, not only an exhibit, but what it is, what it's going to be. And it also features some of the stories behind some of the tiles that the people made. So it's really nice to read some of those. It's going to become the Shine Community Sculpture Project. The Wapaka Community Arts Board has partnered with the Wapaka Foundry, and they're going to be making 4 sculpture panels that are going to be about 8.5 feet tall, each of them. And the Wapaka Foundry is pouring the frames from molten cast iron metal, and some of it is actually from the trolley rails that they found beneath Main Street when they were redoing Main Street.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Neat.
I was like, wow, that's so neat. And then the city and the Wapaka Community Arts Board and Park and Rec will help decide where those panels are going to be going. And this is not the first art project they've done with the Wapaka Community Arts Board. If you go down to South Park, I believe that was the first one that they've done. And as you're going down towards the beach, you look to your right, you'll see this big, I don't even know, it's like a... It's
kind of like a giant barrel, but spinning, looks like spinning.
And I remember when they did that in the parking lot and they were actually pouring those molds, and people from the community got to make those little panels that are all connected.
They did that at Arts on the Square, I think.
Oh, it was Arts on the Square.
Made those panels.
So that's really cool. And along with that, it's not only that exhibit, but there is, they're shining the light on 2 outstanding local artists. So there's pencil art of Manuel Munoz and craft art of Paulina Gonzalez that is along the wall, which is beautiful also. And I also want to give a little bit about what's going to be coming up after this exhibit. From June 1st to August 3rd, going along with our summer library program theme of Adventure Begins at Your Library, the exhibit is going to be called Adventure, and it is going to be a public photo submission exhibit. So they are asking all of you out there to submit your photos. We want to see your adventure.
Huh.
So you could submit your photos with a short description of your favorite adventure. They'll print and display those in the exhibit. You can also print your own. There's a maximum of 3 entries per person. And if you're going to do more than one, you'd submit each one individually. You can also print your own artwork. So I believe that it's maybe taking a photo of that artwork.
Okay.
That's what I take it as, but we can check with our exhibit coordinator on that. It could be landscape or portrait, and self-printed photos need to be 11 by 14.
Okay.
There's more information on this on our website. It's more detailed. There's also should be a print. If you come to the circulation desk, there should be a printed form that you can fill out if you don't want to do it online.
Is there a deadline for these photos?
I did not see that. I would imagine, because it's June 1st, so I would imagine it's going to be sometime in May. I know they've added things, you know. I mean, the sooner the better, always. But June 1st is when it opens, so I would say get it in before then. And you're submitting a little description if you get it all there. But that's exciting. And it's beautiful. I don't know if you guys got down there to see it. And a lot, you'll know a lot of local people who's, and not all 170 pieces are down there. They couldn't fit them all. But they do have a really nice, I don't know if it's a kiosk, or where you can see them. You can go and you can look for them. But there's some of our own librarians are in there.
I was going to say, some of our librarians
are down
there.
I'm going to have to scroll through my photos.
You can do it. You take lots of photos.
I do.
Okay, so Marcy, what's coming up with the next book club?
Okay, the next book club is going to be Saturday, May 18th from 10 to 12, and the book is The Perfect Stranger by Megan Miranda. This book is a one I chose. It is a psychological thriller, which our book club has never done a mystery like this before. So I like all different genres, so I wanted to do one that was completely out of context of what they usually do. They've done mysteries before, but they're usually little cozy mysteries, and I wanted to shake things up a little bit. So,
give them some nightmares, why not?
So, I chose this. I just started reading it yesterday. I am on page 5, and I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start. There's a lot going on, and I can foresee me staying up way too late reading this book. But I'm enjoying it. So, I said, it's one we've never done before.
Sounds like it'll make for a good discussion.
Yes, I think so. And when we had our last book club on this past Saturday, it was announced what the book was, and one of the participants there was very excited about this. She said it's her favorite genre. Yes. Psychological thrillers are her favorite genre, so she was really excited about it. So yeah, it ought to make for all kinds of discussions.
So I'm assuming we've got several copies at the library?
Yes, we have several copies. However, as of right now, there are only 2 large print copies that we have. So we're asking, unless you need a large print copy, please just check out a regular copy. There are more large print coming, but for some reason, we ordered a bunch and only 2 of them are here so far. So,
okay.
But they are available in audiobook if you have access to that.
Nice.
Things like that.
Linda, what's going on with the community coming up?
Well, the Community Read book has been chosen and ordered, and it has arrived and will soon be available for checkout, but not quite yet.
What exactly is Community Read?
It's where the library provides the same book to any number of people in the community who want to read it, and then they have various locations and different times throughout the city, they will have discussions.
Huh.
People can come in and discuss how far they've gotten in the book, if they've read the whole book, or they can, you know, go to different discussions as the summer goes along and perhaps discuss part of each book until they get to the end, however it works.
Okay.
But they meet at different locations in the city, so it's not always at the library.
Okay.
So I know they meet at coffee shops, they meet at restaurants or other places.
Yeah.
So those dates haven't been chosen yet, those meeting places haven't been chosen yet, but the book soon will be available for checkout, and it is called Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, The Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside.
That is a long title.
Yes, and the author is Nick Offerman, and anybody who has watched Parks and Recreation should be familiar with Nick Offerman. He plays the character of Ron Swanson. So, and he's also, in case you didn't know, he was the voice actor in the Lego movie franchise and also the Sing movie franchise and others. So he does quite a lot of voice acting as well.
He has a very recognizable voice.
Does he?
At least I think he does.
I am not familiar with Nick Offerman, so this is all new to me. But he's written 4 semi-autobiographical books. This one, Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, is his 4th book, and he's also narrated all of the audio versions of his books.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and the book, as far as I know, I haven't read it, obviously, because it's not available yet, but it has to do with conservation and his love of the land and some historical factors of what's happened in our country to the land, and he's a big conservationist, so that's what it has to do with.
Sounds like a book I would really enjoy.
Yeah. All right, Marcy, you're going to tell us about the final Lunch and Learn.
Yes. So there's only 1 Lunch and Learn that we have left, and then we're taking a break for the summer. And this final Lunch and Learn, we are going to feature Tracy from the Historical Society. So the Lunch and Learn will take place on May 1st at 12 to 1. Registration is required. And Tracy is going to be talking about all the exciting programs that are coming up with the Wapaka Historical Society. So there's always a lot going on with Historical Society. They have a lot going on in the summer. They're going to be doing a lot of fun things. And later on, we will talk about one of the fun things that they're going to be doing in May. But so there's going to be all kinds of fun things that are going on. And Tracy will be in to talk about them.
So how do you register?
You have to go to our website, wapakalibrary.org. And there is a place on there to register. You can also call us and we can sign you up.
And that number is 715-258-4414.
Thank you, Jan.
I'd be happy to do that for you. Okay. I also want to mention and let people know that the Wapaka Area Public Library is looking for volunteers. If you have some time that you would like to share your time with the library, if you just want to hang out in the library, which we all think is wonderful, and just want to help us out, we are looking for volunteers. We have several things that we would love some help with. We have and I'm probably going to use some library ease here, but it's called the pick list. essentially, when people request books from our library, we have to go out into the stacks or the shelving area to pull these items and send them to the libraries or get them put on our hold shelf. We're looking for people to help us with that. We try to do that a couple of times a day. We've got cleaning some media and shelving stuff. We've got things like shelf reading, where if our books and movies and music are all out of order, you can go out there and you can try to help us get everything back in order, because we know how frustrating it is when you go to try to find something, it's not where it's supposed to be. We could use help with that. There is the book sale room, which is run by the Friends of the Library. They're always looking for people to join Friends of the Library. If you want to help out with the book sale room, they would probably love to have you. And we have our free little pantry, too. They're looking for help there with the, gathering the food and organizing it and getting everything tallied and making sure the pantry is full. We can always use help in that area. And just there's several things. There is a volunteer application that you can come down to the library and ask for at the main desk and fill out, and somebody will get back to you and talk more about the different areas if there's something specific you would love to come help out with. So just think about it if you're sitting at home and thinking, boy, what could I be doing right now? Well, hey, you could come down to the library and give us a hand.
We love our volunteers.
Yes, we love our volunteers.
There's no way we could run our library without them.
Yes. So thank you. Marcy.
All right. We have a plant exchange coming up. Our plant exchange is going to be on May 10th from 3:30 to 5:30. All plants are welcome. You can come and pick up plants, drop off plants. The only thing that we ask is if your plant is not pet safe or it's an invasive plant, please note that when you bring it in. We want that noted as far, and anything else is welcome, even if it's just like a tiny little seedling, they're welcome. Houseplants, perennials, whatever you want to bring. We did this last year. I believe last year was our first year that we did it, and it went over huge. It was a huge thing. And I know that the senior center is having one earlier than ours. It's going to be before ours, but I also know that we have a lot of plants. We want all kinds of plants. Come and exchange it and make new planting friends.
All right, Linda.
Okay, I'm talking about the final film that we have for this year. We do a First Thursday film series at the library, and our final one is in May, on May 2nd, starting at 1:30. And the film series is a program that we've been doing for a number of years now. It was basically started by Dr. Jack Rhodes, who passed away in 2022, but when he was in hospital, this care video filmed introductions to at least 40 movies. So we're still using his introductions to the movies. He is still a big part of the film series that's going on. So that's, I think, kind of cool that we are doing that. And this final movie for this season is called The Spiral Staircase, Alfred Hitchcock movie, and this is the 1946 version starring Dorothy McGuire, George Brent, and Ethel Barrymore. And I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
I checked this movie out because I was going to watch it because I thought, oh, I could really talk a lot about it if I watched it. But then I read the description and decided, nope. Not going to watch it. It's Alfred Hitchcock, who, you know, is kind of creepy. And this movie is about a serial killer targeting disabled young women in a small New England town. And there is a mute servant in a mansion who is terrified that she is going to be the next victim. So I just decided I didn't want to watch it.
Bring you nightmares, huh?
Yeah, but maybe I'll go to the film series and watch it with a group of people instead of at home by myself. So anyways, that's the movie. And they do provide free movie snacks and soda at the movies. And this Spiral Staircase is classified as a psychological horror movie.
Okay.
But it's 1946, so I was thinking maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But it's Alfred Hitchcock also. So
right. He's very creepy.
And he can be very creepy. And one thing, if you aren't familiar with Alfred Hitchcock movies, there's always one part in the movie where either he walks through the scene or there's a shadow on the wall or something that's Alfred Hitchcock. So he puts himself at least a few seconds into every movie he makes. And so it's kind of fun watching for Alfred Hitchcock in his movies.
That's kind of like Stan Lee in the Marvel movie.
I was going to say, it's kind of like a fun game. Can you spot him?
So that's the last one until fall, right? They're taking a break?
Yes, and they'll start up again in September, I believe.
And I think they're actually working with Park and Rec to have a couple summer movies possibly, but that's still up in the air.
Yeah.
So keep watching the website, and we'll let you know what comes up this summer. Okay. Paula, what kind of family fun is happening with the train depot?
Okay, I believe this is, we've been doing it this might be the seventh year that we joined Tracy Barrett over at the train depot for family fun, and it will be May 18th. It's a Saturday from 10 to 2, bring out the family, and they just have some fun with games and activities. You check out the train depot, too. If you've never been there, it is a really cool place to go. And especially if you have kids who like trains, mm-hmm. it's awesome. And if you're lucky and you're there and a train goes by, it's kind of fun. Okay. So
Tracy Barrett is?
The head of the Historical Society.
Ah, yes.
So we've a good relationship with Tracy, and it's always a fun time. Jan Rademacher will be there helping out with the kids in some of those activities and games.
Fun. Very nice. I did have one of my coworkers ask me if I could mention to everybody about the new magazines that she's ordered. Apparently, she had some extra money in the budget, and she wanted me to let everybody know that she's shaken it up and added some pretty interesting new magazines to our collection. I'm just going to go through the list real quick. Autism Digest, Boating, Bow Hunter, Bicycling, Classic Motorsports, Cottages and Bungalows, Crochet World, Fly Fisherman, Good Old Days, that sounds interesting,
mm-hmm.
Guideposts, and National Geographic History, and the last one, Tea Time.
Ooh, so
come on down and check out the magazine collection. It should be pretty interesting, new collection there. Okay, we are going to start with our sharing our personal table of contents. So let's see, we're at that time. So I think we've got Paula.
Okay, I am going to be sharing a new graphic novel that you will find. It could be in the adult department, some libraries, and or in the teen department. It is by a National Book Award finalist, Jarrett J. Krasaska. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, he was a visitor here in Wapaka, and yes. He presented at the high school. I did happen to go see that presentation. It was for his first graphic novel, Hey Kiddo, which was a memoir of his in graphic novel form. And I was just touched that how many kids at the high school, the things that he talked about in his life that they can relate to and that wanted to talk to him afterwards. It was really, had some good things happen with that. But he is a New York Times bestselling author and illustrator. He's written many books for children. Hey Kiddo was a winner of the Harvey Award and Odyssey Award and was a finalist for the National Book Award and the Elsa Nonfiction Award. He was chosen as the best book of the year by Time, NPR, The Washington Post, and The Boston Globe. And he lives in Massachusetts. So the first book had to do with him. He was raised without a father in the picture. His mother was an addict, and he was raised as a toddler with his grandparents. And so it just told that whole story. I really enjoyed the book. It's probably one of the... I'm not a big graphic novel reader, but I really enjoyed it, and I even enjoyed more listening to that. So if you get a chance to listen, I think it's one of the best audiobooks I ever listened to. So I was excited when this one came out. This one is called Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. And this is him as a teenager. I believe he's like the summer that before he was a senior in high school. And their school would do yearly trips to a place called Camp Sunshine in Maine. And there would be six students who would be picked. They would apply for and get picked to go to this camp. And I just kind of want to read like the inserts that he has in here just to show the interest. I was 16 when I first worked at a camp for kids with life-threatening illnesses. It forever changed the trajectory of my life. Just about everyone who asks about the experience seems to have the same knee-jerk reaction. It must have been so sad. But that cannot be further from the truth. I mean, a camp for pediatric cancer patients shouldn't be sad. Those kids already have enough to deal with. No, camp was happy, the happiest place I've ever been. It was a space where illness didn't define the campers while they defied their diagnosis. It was uplifting, celebratory. The kids I met weren't dying, they were living life to its fullest. All these years later, there isn't a day that goes by when I don't think of them. And I have to tell you, because this book makes me cry. But it's just so great because he does a great job of writing at that age level. I mean, how he, and even the other students. I mean, when you're reading it as an adult especially, you can relate to it. And it's like, yep, that's how you would react. And, you know, the joking around, there's sarcasm in it. and then just the relationships. And the camp was, it wasn't only for the kids, it was for their families too and their siblings. And, you know, they were required to sit with those families when they had meals. And the first thing was you make sure those families have everything they need. And he was paired with a boy who was, you know, he was 16 and he was paired with a boy who was 13. It was a one-on-one. And he was in a wheelchair. And so it's just opens your eyes. And I'm just thinking like that it changed his life and he still thinks of it today. There's so much background he shares later after you read it. And it made me think about, I was just thinking actually today, I was driving and I was just popped in my head like, well, gosh, you know, what? I thought about the first time I ever volunteered in my life. I was in fifth or sixth grade. And one of our neighbors, her daughter was 4 years younger than me when, you know, you'd play with everyone in the neighborhood. And she asked me if I would help her when she was teaching her catechism classes on Saturday. So I was with a bunch of first graders and I'm like, and that did make a difference in my life. You know, so it's like, you know, you think about that, all the things you've done, you usually get so much more when you volunteer. And, you know, it's another great story about volunteering.
Yes,
too. So,
volunteering.
But I would suggest reading both of them because his grandparents are a little bit in the beginning of that, like their remarks when he says he's going to this camp and that. And it helps when you hear stuff like how his grandmother in particular responds to some things, if you know how they, if you were introduced to them in the first book.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, you know, you don't have to, but it does make a big difference because if you know the family life, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So
I always like to read books in order because I just think it's so much easier. Like you said, you understand the backstory a little better.
Right. Okay, Linda, what do you have to share with us?
Okay, I am going to talk about a book that's been out for a while now. It was introduced to me when I was going through my cancer treatments, and it made me laugh. And so that book is special to me because of what I was going through at the time and how it made me feel when I was reading it. It's called A Man Called Of, or Ove, depending on how you pronounce it. I pronounce it Of as in love, but some people pronounce it Ove because I think that's probably grammatically more correct. But anyways, it's written by Frederick Bachman, and he's from Sweden or Norway, one of those Scandinavian countries. So this is a book translated into English from his writing. And it's when you start to talk about it, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a funny book because it starts out with a man trying to commit suicide because his wife died and he's all alone in the world and he just doesn't see the point in living anymore. But he fails over and over and over again. And that's what kind of makes it funny. And his attempts are spread out long enough for other people to come into his life and make him realize that he's not alone. And so it's really a heartwarming kind of story because he's very curmudgeon-y. And then I also wanted to bring up the movie tie-in to that book, which is A Man Called Otto with Tom Hanks. And that came out just a couple of years ago, I think. And it's based on this story. The book is better, of course. So I highly recommend reading the book first before you see the movie because I think the book is just, it's so funny.
Usually the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anybody out there has a book that they think was as good or not as good as the movie, I'd like to hear about it because I have never run across a movie that was better than a book.
Yeah. And I'd like to say, because I don't get to read a lot of adult books because I'm always reading children's and things like that. But I read that book. I loved it. And then not only did Tom Hanks, but there is a Norwegian version.
Yes,
and I actually, I mean, I love Tom Hanks in that, but the other version pertains more with the book.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like you really get the same feeling, but and it's just because it is from like their country that that it was at.
Yeah. I should watch that because
I believe we have both.
We own
both of them.
And I never watched the other one. I watched the Tom Hanks one and I just didn't feel he was quite as curmudgeon-y as he should have been.
Yes. The other one is.
I picture Tom Hanks as curmudgeon-y though.
Anyways, that's my recommendation for this month is that book and that movie.
All right. Very good. Marcy. All right, so I just finished the sixth book in the Disney Villain series by Serena Valentino. So there are now 10 books in the series. The 11th book is on pre-order. I don't remember the date it's coming out. I know it's later this year. But yes, I just finished the sixth book, which was The Odd Sisters, A Tale of the Three Witches. I was not really familiar with the Three Witches. Like, I knew they had been mentioned in all the other books, but I didn't tie them into any one specific villain. These stories are written from the villain's perspective. So the first story is Fairest of All, which is the tale of the Wicked Witch, and it's told from the Wicked Witch's perspective. So it's a very interesting take on how they became the villains. And the tagline for the entire series is, "Evil is made, not born." So the second book in the series is The Beast Within, which is the tale of the Beauty's Prince. So I love that. I love Beauty and the Beast. It's one of my all-time favorite books, or one of my all-time favorite anythings. I love that. So it talks about like them, the villains as children, and what has happened to them to turn them into these villains that they have become. So it was a very interesting. I got through the sixth book. There were several other characters in there. There was Snow White was in there. Maleficent was in there. They had Mother Gothel was in there. They talked about Ursula. There were a lot of other names mentioned. It was very, very interesting. And I have now checked out the seventh, haven't started it yet, but checked out the seventh book, which is Evil Thing. It's the story of Cruella de Vil. Oh. So, yeah, I thought with the new Cruella movie coming in, that would be a good tie-in. But yes, I highly recommend it. It is Serena Valentino's Disney Villain series, and we have them in the teen room.
Very nice. Okay. My book that I have to talk about today is called Ink and Sigil by Kevin Hearn.
You find the most interesting books.
I've got a weird taste, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, this book came out in 2020, and it is the first book in the Ink and Sigil series, which takes place in the world of the Iron Druid, which is another book series by Kevin Hearn that I highly recommend if you like fantasy fiction. The book is about a Scottish protector of sorts, Al McVarnish. He protects humanity from rogue minions of various pantheons, especially the Fae. Al is blessed and cursed. He has the ability to cast spells with magical enchanted ink. However, anyone who hears Al's voice will know for no reason begin to hate him. So therefore he has to communicate with the written word or with the use of speech apps. On top of all that, his apprentices keep dying of freak accidents. His latest apprentice is Gordy, and he turns up dead with the speculation of him living a secret life of crime, which kind of is freaking Al out. He was supposed to be lucky number 7. Well, that didn't work out. So the book is about Al playing detective while going out about his daily work, trying to find out what happened to Gordy, while avoiding the real detectives who are wondering why death keeps following him, and trying to find out how to crack the secret of his speech curse. It's quite entertaining if you're looking for a fun, quick read. This book has the added Kevin Hearn feature of explaining the dialects and languages of the characters or places where his book takes place. In the beginning of his book, he includes a 2-page author's note about the pronunciations of English words by the Scottish in Edinburgh and the Glaswegians, or the Weegies, I guess, from Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, you know, I just read a book that had that word in it, and I thought, what an odd way to say people from Glasgow. I thought it was really odd.
Okay, so for instance, I'll give you an idea. For instance, he points out that the Scots appear to have an aversion to saying the word not out loud. So anywhere they would be, there would be a place where they would say would not or did not. That becomes a contraction, with the not being replaced by knee, which is spelled N-A-E. So instead of saying would not, it would be wouldn't, or did not would be didn't.
Interesting.
So they don't actually say not. It's very interesting. I highly recommend the book. The next in the series came out in 2021. It's called Paper and Blood. And the third book is coming out in October. Mm-hmm. It's called Candle and Crow. Highly recommend it. Lots of fun. I enjoy the books, and I'm excited about the one coming out in October.
I might have to read those. Those are going to go on my long reading list.
I was thinking the same thing.
All right. Well, this was a wonderful episode, too. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as
as we did. If you would like to comment or ask any questions about the Table of Contents, please email us at tableofcontents@wapakalibrary.org. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, in episode 3, we'll see you later.
Bye.